Jaya Radha Madhavuma Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhavuma Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana malalama ibar khare.
Gopi jana malalama ibar khare.
Gopi jana malalama ibar khare. Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachanamad, Bhaktivananda, Gosami Mahashila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Shavridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premse Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadara Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopita Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Kiri Govaran Ki Jai Vrindavadam Ki Jai Vajradam Ki Jai Navadidam Ki Jai Jagadavasami Ki Jai Yuvunamaya Ki Jai Shumandilasa Devi Ki Jai Sarveda Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Gaur Primilandani. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prabhupada. Okay. Well, just like to welcome everybody who's watching us online. We've got a lot of people. Jyotika from here. Radha Vinod from Croatia in Europe. Sama Priya. Let's see. Shamalata. Shamalata. Chopra Ashok. Let's see. Nivati Nandan from New Zealand. Abhikash. Chand. Let's see. Who's in this? Govinda Mohini. Rishikesh. Sarvashakti. Arjuna. Madhu. Sachimata. And let's see who else is watching. Oh, yeah. Duka Huntry. I've got a lot of people here. It's hard to keep up with everybody. All right, we'd like to thank everybody for watching. We're here in Australia, the Sydney area. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 7, verse 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Brahmavacha.
Brahmavacha.
Yatrodyataha.
Chitti.
Belodharanaya.
Belodharanaya.
Vibrat.
Vibrat.
Krodim.
Kanu.
Sakala,
Vidya,
Mahim,
Anantaha,
Antar,
Maharnava,
Bhagatam,
Adi.
That's the doorbell. Daicham,
Tam,
Dhamstra Yadrim, Eva, Vajra, Dado, Dadara, Brahmavacha, Yatrodyatakshiti, Talodaranaya Vivrat. Okay. Yatro, yet, yes. It's the Chintamani prayers. Yatro, yata, shitita, lo, dharanaya, bibrat.
Yatro, yata,
Rodin tanum sakalat yatya mayam ananta.
Rodin tanum sakalat
yatya mayam ananta. Antar mahar navahu pagatamari jaycham.
Antar mahar navahu pagatamari jaycham.
Ham dam strayadrim ivat vraja daro dhara.
Ham dam strayadrim ivat vraja daro dhara.
Ramu vacha.
Ramu vacha.
Yatro yatakshiti talo dharanaya viprat.
Yatro
Rodim tanum sakala yatya mayam ananta.
Rodim tanum sakala yatya mayam ananta.
Antar Maharna Bahupagata Maridae Chyam.
Antar Maharna Bahupagata Maridae Chyam.
Ham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Jaja Daro Dattara.
Ham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Jaja Daro Dattara.
Ramuvacha,
Ramuvacha,
Yatro Jatap Shitti Talo Daranaya Vipra,
Yatro Jatap Shitti Talo Daranaya Vipra,
Krodim Tanum Sakala Yitya Mayim Mananta,
Krodim Tanum Sakala Yitya Mayim Mananta,
Antar Maharna Bakupagata Maridae Chyam.
Antar Maharna Bakupagata Maridae Chyam.
Kham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Vraja Daro Dattara.
Kham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Vraja
Daro Dattara. Okay. Who wants to try? Anybody?
Yatro yata kshiti talo taranaya vidra.
Yatro yata kshiti talo taranaya vidra.
Krodim tanum sakala yajna mayi manantaha.
Krodim tanum sakala yajna mayi manantaha.
Antar maharna bahupaga samadhi daityam.
Antar Mahanya Bhagavata Madhi Daita.
Kham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Vajra Daro Dattara.
Kham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Vajra Daro Dattara. Yatro Yata Chitita Lodharanaya Vibra. Yatro Yata Chitita Lodharanaya Vibra. Krodim tanum sakala yajna mayi mananta. Antar Mahana Bahupagata Madhi Daitam. Antar Mahana Bahupagata Madhi Daitam. Kham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Vajra Daro Dattara. Kham Dham Shtrayadrim Iva Vajra Daro Dattara.
Okay. Brahma Vacha.
Brahma Vacha.
Lord Brahma said.
Lord Brahma said.
Yatra.
Yatra.
At that time.
At that time.
When?
When?
Udhyataha.
Udhyataha.
Attempted.
Attempted.
Shittitala.
Shittitala.
The planet Earth.
The planet Earth.
Udharanaya.
Udharanaya.
For the matter of lifting.
For the matter of
lifting.
Vibrat.
Assumed.
Assumed.
Krodim.
Krodim.
Pastimes.
Pastimes.
Tanum.
Tanum.
Form.
Form.
Sakala.
Sakala.
Total.
Total.
Yajna Mahim.
Yajna Mahim.
All-inclusive sacrifices.
All-inclusive sacrifices.
Anantaha.
Anantaha.
The unlimited.
The unlimited.
Antar.
Antar.
Within the universe.
Within the universe.
Maha-arnave.
Maha-arnave.
The great Garbha ocean.
The great Garbha ocean.
Upagatam.
Upagatam.
Having arrived at.
Having arrived at.
Hari,
Hari,
the first.
The first.
Daicham.
Daicham.
Demon.
Demon.
Tam.
Tam.
Him.
Him.
Dham Shtraya,
by the tusk.
Adrim,
the
flying mountains.
The
flying
mountains.
Iva, like.
Like.
Vajradaraha,
Vajradaraha,
the controller of the thunderbolts.
The controller of the
thunderbolts. The
Dara, pierced.
Translation. Lord Brahma said.
Lord Brahma said.
Anyway, then let me just read. When the unlimitedly powerful Lord assumed the form of a boar as a pastime, just to lift the planet Earth, which was drowned in the great ocean of the universe called the Garbhodaka. The first demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared, and the Lord pierced him with his tusk. So, purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Since the beginning of creation, the demons and the demigods, or the Vaishnavas, are always the two classes of living beings to dominate the planets of the universes. Lord Brahma is the first demigod, and Hiranyaksha is the first demon in this universe. Only under certain conditions do the planets float as weightless balls in the air, and as soon as these conditions are disturbed, the planets may fall down in the Garbhodaka ocean, which covers half the universe. The other half is the spherical dome within which the innumerable planetary systems exist. The floating of the planets in the weightless air is due to the inner constitution of the globes, and the modernized drilling of the earth to exploit oil from within is a sort of disturbance by the modern demons and can result in a greatly harmful reaction to the floating condition of the earth. A similar disturbance was created formerly by the demons headed by Hiranyaksha, the great exploiter of the gold rush. And the earth was detached from its weightless condition and fell down into the Garbhodaka ocean. The Lord, as maintainer of the whole creation of the material world, therefore assumed the gigantic form of a boar with a proportionate snout and picked up the earth from within the water of the Garbhodaka. Sri Jayadev Goswami, the great Vaishnava poet, sang as follows. Vasati dashana sikare darani tava lagna shashini kalamka kaleva nivagna keshavadrita shukara ropa jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, you've assumed the form of a boar. O Lord, the planet Earth rested on your tusks, and it appeared like the moon engraved with spots. Such is the symptom of an incarnation of the Lord. The incarnation of the Lord is not the concocted idea of fanciful men who create an incarnation out of imagination. The incarnation of the Lord appears under certain extraordinary circumstances, like the above-mentioned occasion, and the incarnation performs a task which is not even imaginable by the tiny brain of mankind. The modern creators of the many cheap incarnations may take note of the factual incarnation of God as a gigantic boar with a suitable snout to carry the planet Earth. When the Lord appeared to pick up the Earth, the demon of the name Hiranyaksha tried to create a disturbance in the methodical functions of the Lord, and therefore he was killed by being pierced by the Lord's tusk. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the demon Hiranyaksha was killed by the hand of the Lord. Therefore, his version is that after being killed by the hand of the Lord, the demon was pierced by the tusk. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms this version. So, Yatro yatakshiti kalo daranaya viprat krodim danum sakalak yagya mayam ananta antara maharnava upagatamari doicham tam dam strayadrim iva vajra dago dhara. So, Omagana, Timidanda shagadanjana shalakaya chakshuram niditam. Yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So here we see a quite unusual form for the Lord to be taken, and that's the form of a boar, Lord Brahma. And so one may question this particular activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in fact, you know, in other religious traditions, they think it's pretty weird. If you say God becomes a boar, God becomes half lion, half man, God has a horse head, the high agreed incarnation, God becomes a fish, God becomes a tortoise. And actually, sometimes you find even in the Hindu tradition, people don't understand this that well. Just like if you go to Tirupati and you climb the Tirumala Hills. Anyone's done that here? You climb. So on the way up, they show different incarnations of the Lord. That's good. But what they do is they think that there is a gradual evolution of the Lord. You know, actually many people, even in the Hindu tradition, talk like that. They say, you've heard this before? They say, you know, first the Lord appeared, he's a fish, then a tortoise. He got better then. Then he got to be a boar. You know, I forget the exact hierarchy there. Then he gets even better. You know, he gets to be Ram. Then he gets even the best. He gets to be Krishna. So they actually attribute this to God evolving, which is kind of stupid because God doesn't evolve. You know, he's always, you know, Satchidananda Vigraha. So we find even in Hinduism, people misunderstand these various incarnations. And actually, Jayadev Goswami, in his Gita Govinda, which is being quoted here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, because that verse, Keshavadrita, Shukara Rupa, Keshavadrita, Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita, Rama Sharira, Keshavadrita, Haladara Rupa, that's Balaram, for those of you who don't know. Those verses come from the Gita Govinda, which is a very intimate book about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then somehow or other in the middle of the book, it's there. So you find Jayadev Goswami recognizing that it's actually Krishna acting in these different ways. So it's not a question of evolving. Krishna, because in this particular chapter, you have 18 chansa kalakums of Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. That after this whole list of incarnations, the statement is that Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, the source of all the incarnations. So the question is, why is Krishna doing this? You know, why is he appearing in all these different species of life? Why doesn't he just behave himself and just basically play his flute, dance with his girlfriends, and just stay in Vrindavan, you know? Just why is he messing around with all these dirty species? You know, he's generally a boar. You know, like it's an insult to tell someone, isn't it? You're a pig. Did you ever have your mother tell you that when you didn't clean up? Your father tells you that.
I don't.
He said, you're a pig. So it's actually an insult.
He says, piggy.
So it's an insult to call someone a pig. So why is Krishna do this? All right. So there's several different reasons. But the main reason Krishna does all these things with killing the demons, and in fact, this particular demon mentioned here is not an actual demon. He's a devotee, Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha? Don't you know Hiranyaksha?
Oh, yes.
Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and Kandavasa and Shishupal and Ravan and Kumbhakarna and Jayavijay, they're actually devotees. And so the reason Krishna is fighting with these personalities is because he's enjoying. He's enjoying doing this. And he has his devotees come down to fight with him. Krishna doesn't like to fight with any stupid, regular demon. Just like there's that story of Kalyavana, who was a regular stupid demon. And Kalyavana challenged Krishna. And Krishna said, basically he said, I'm not going to fight with you. He ran away from him. Right?
Oh, yes.
He ran away from him. And he ran into a cave, and in that cave was this nice devotee of Krishna named Muchukunda. Not Muchikunda. Most devotees mispronounce that name. Muchikunda means a dirty lake. You know, Muchikunda. Like Radhakunda, they have Muchikunda. So Muchukunda is his name. And so, anyway, so this Muchukunda was there, and he was sleeping. He's having a nice nap because he had just fought for the demigods, and the demigods had blessed him to be able to sleep, and if anyone woke him up, he would burn them to ashes with his eyes. So Krishna arranged that this Kalyavana kicked Muchukunda as he was sleeping, because Krishna hid in the cave. And Muchukunda killed Kalyagana. So Krishna's not just interested in killing demons. In fact, demons can be killed very, very nicely by Krishna's devotees, like Arjuna, like Krishna's energies, like Durga. I mean, Durga's riding on a tigress, and she has a trident. What's a trident?
Like,
I know, but what does it mean? But what does Durga's trident mean? What is it in? What is, no, the children. What Durga's trident? What is the significance of the 3 points on Durga's trident? No. Three modes. There's no such thing as three modes of ignorance. The three modes, not the three modes of nature. The three what? Away. Are you a child? Are you regressing now? Or are you? This is a question for the children.
I got it.
Yeah. The three miseries. What are the three miseries, Keshe?
You should know this.
Yeah,
three miseries, your mother, your father, and your teacher. Is that the three?
The first one's miseries. I don't know what order, but modes of nature.
No.
No.
Yeah, one of them.
Threefold miseries. Wait, now there's cheating going on. It reminds me of, there was a picture taken of an exam given in India, and the kids were actually sitting in the exam room, was like the third floor, I don't know if you've seen this picture, and the parents had climbed the walls of the building. It was actually a picture. Did you ever see the picture? It was really funny, and the parents were passing the children the answers for the exams, as they were taking the exams. So, threefold miseries, what? No? Give me an Adi Atmak. Adi Atmak.
Adi Bosh.
Adi Bhautika.
Adi Bhautika. And Adi Daivika. Miseries from what? Material, nature in general, it's too hot, it's too cold. Miseries from other living entities. Who are other living entities, Keshe, who give you miseries? Your father. And miseries from your own body and mind. Can you give me an example of that, Ishara, Keshe? What's a misery?
From your mind.
Just give me an example.
Cuts.
Yeah, cuts. Or headaches, or the flu. Different things like that. Of course, that's a combination because the flu is also other living entities. But still, the body and mind are giving one trouble. So I'll explain again. Miseries from the material energy, miseries from one's body and mind, and miseries from other living entities. Those are the three. Adiatmic means from the body and mind. Adidaivik means from just the demigods in charge of the material energy. And Adi Bhautik.
Get it from
Adi Bhautik means other living entities. You got it? Okay. Adi Atmik, you have to look it up. Adi Atmik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Daivik. So this, anyway, getting back to the point, Durga is certainly capable of killing any demon. So Krishna's devotees, like Durga, Krishna's energies, they're all capable of doing that. So the reason Krishna comes down really is not just Puritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Shadushkutam. That's called an external reason. And just like when we say Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down to teach the Sankirtan Yajna, that's also an external reason. But the internal reason Lord Chaitanya came down, of course they don't know this.
To feel how Radharani is.
Wow, you know.
Yeah.
To understand Radharani's love, to feel the ecstasy from Radharani's position, and to what? What's the third one? To see himself from Radharani's perspective. Because Krishna is the ultimate narcissist. You know what narcissist is?
Yeah.
Narcissist is
What? One who's overly obsessed with themselves.
Yeah, he likes himself. It's like, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most attractive kid of all? So anyway, these are the esoteric, and the esoteric reasons that Krishna comes down to fight with Hiranyaksha or these other demons is because he likes a chivalrous exchange. Chivalrous exchange means that he doesn't just like kill, it's back and forth. He plays with the demon, and the demon plays with him, and he enjoys it. Because Krishna could do all these things very, very quickly just by desiring to do them. But he enjoys what's called the indirect rasas. You know what the indirect rasas are?
Yeah.
What are they?
I don't know all of them, but there's chivalrous.
Chivalry?
Anger.
Anger?
Lust? No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not lust. Lust is not an indirect rasa.
But what?
Shock?
Shock.
You got it written
down.
Oh, that's nice.
Ghastliness.
Ghastliness, shock, ghastliness.
What's some of them?
What's one thing I like to do a lot? I think I have to, no prashadam. One thing I like to do a lot is tell what?
Story,
but funny stories, right?
Yeah.
So humor.
Yeah, I've got shock, humor, fear, chivalrous, fasciness, and God. I'm missing one.
What?
I'm missing one.
What was the one you didn't get?
Humor.
No,
the humor
I've got
we
humor.
Got.
I've got shock, humor, fear, chivalry.
Shock is one, yeah.
Anger.
And ghastliness we got already.
I've got anger.
I think ghastliness, humor, shock, chivalry. Let's see one we're missing.
Fear.
Fear. Vibhatsa. Let's see. I think you got them all.
Seven.
There should be seven.
I'm missing one. I've got six.
I think I mentioned them all. Anyway, so there's seven indirect rasas, and Krishna likes to enjoy them. So that's why he comes down, to enjoy this exchange in this world. Because in the spiritual world, you can't have ghastliness. You can have anger. You can have, can't really have shock too much. So to the fullest extent, these things are exhibited in Krishna's pastimes in the material world. And Krishna, whatever Krishna does, his motivation is always to enjoy. Krishna is not forced to do something. Just like you, Keshav. Are you ever forced to do something you don't enjoy? Like what?
Eating my vegetables.
Eating your vegetables. Or going to school sometimes, right? You enjoy going to school. Or listening to your father, right? So Krishna arranges everything so he's enjoying all the time. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, so this is the original demon in the universe, the Hiranyaksha. And interestingly enough, when these two devotees, Jai and Vijay, went back to the spiritual world, they didn't complain to Krishna that he had sent them down to the material world. Why didn't they complain? They didn't complain because they just wanted to please Krishna. That is the mood that is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace. Krishna, you may leave me brokenhearted. Krishna, you may do anything and everything, and you'll always remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally, right? Because they wanted to give pleasure to Krishna. So, like the gopis, they say that if my unhappiness gives you happiness, Krishna, then my unhappiness is my happiness.
Yeah.
Think about it for a second. In other words, that is love. You don't get it.
To make someone else happy, it's better you become more than that person is happy.
Like your mother, for example. She wants to make you happy, so she struggles and works and everything like that. She's given up everything for your sake, right? Yeah. So that's an indication how a pure devotee feels with Krishna. And so the Jai and Vijay, they were willing to give up their situation in the spiritual world just to please Krishna. And so, therefore, we find, like in the, of course, the Shikshashika, Mama Janmani, Janmanishvare, Bhavatat Bhakti Ahoy to Kichwaye, we find in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, Kicha, that I'll take birth, even as a worm, if you want it. Kita Janmohai, Yatatu Yadas, as your devotee. Are you listening? So that's pure love. So how do you get to that stage of pure love? Can you just say, oh, I should just let... No, you can't do it just by a mental adjustment. You get to that stage by practicing. That's called Vaidhi. And you practice and associate with pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. And then that bhakti, that pure love is the shakti of Krishna. That's bhakti shakti. And that bhakti shakti comes from Srila Prabhupada and the other great pure devotees and enters our hearts. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata to Joshana Dasu Apavargavart Mani Shraddha Rathiyana Bhakti Anukra Mishati. And that's the process of devotional service, so we'll keep it short. So any questions or comments? Yes, Kajan.
Well, it's not a question from this class. When we were coming from yesterday's morning class,
yeah.
See how we were talking about Mahamaya and Yogamaya?
Mahamaya and Yogamaya, yeah.
What's Yogamaya's name in English, and what's her like material form?
But Yogamaya doesn't have a material form.
In this world.
Yogamaya appears as Subhadra in this world. So Subhadra, of course, is Krishna's sister, and she is the daughter of another wife of Vasudev, sorry. And that's the name of Yogamaya in this world. Also, she has other names. Many other names, Vaishnavi, and also that's the name of Durga too. So Durga is an expansion of Yogamaya. Durga and there's so many names of Durga too. Parvati. Do you know what the name Parvati means? What does it mean? Daughter of the mountain. Which mountain? Yeah. The Himalayas. She's the daughter of the Himalayas. And she originally appeared as who? Sati.
Yeah.
But she did something. What did she do?
She jumped into the fire.
She created a mystic fire.
Yeah, it's...
Why?
Because her father wouldn't let her be...
What was her father's name?
Prajapati Daksha.
Yeah, Prajapati Daksha. Yes. She's right. Prajapati Daksha wouldn't... blasphemed her husband.
Yeah.
And she was so chaste that she could not tolerate him. And she said, I don't want any more connection with you, Dad, because you have offended my husband. And then she immolated herself and then took birth as Parvati. Okay? Many forms, there's Bhadrakali and other forms too. So any other questions? Yeah.
As you were talking about how there are certain things that Krishna performs on his earthly pastimes that aren't done in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Like, for example...
Killing demons.
Or taking birth.
that's true. Because in the material world, in Gokul, Vrindavan, Krishna not only takes birth, but he grows up into different stages, yeah.
So what age is he in the spiritual world? Is it a fixed number?
Yeah, in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, he's always like 16 years old. He's always at that age, and Radharani's always at that age. And there's no taking birth pastime or growing up pastime or anything like that. Yeah. Navayovanam. He's always like in the youth, fresh youth, because that's the best time. Actually, the best time of life is like 16 or 17. After that, it's all downhill, Keshi. So for Krishna, of course, nothing's downhill. Yeah, but even in the earth planet, Krishna never appeared older than 16. Even in the battle of Kurukshetra, when he was driving Arjuna's chariot, Partha Sarathi, he appeared to be like 16 years old.
Yeah.
So, does that answer the question? Yeah.
Yes. When Krishna comes down to earth and all of his associates appear with him, like specifically the devotees in Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
Krishna comes in his original spiritual body. Do the devotees in Vrindavan have spiritual bodies or spiritualized material bodies?
The pure devotees in Vrindavan have spiritual bodies. The ones that are, let us say, not quite pure and they just have a little bit left, then it's like a mixture. Like it's described that some of the gopis, when they were called by Krishna's flute, they were prevented from going to see Krishna in the rasa dance by their so-called husbands, and as a result, they left their bodies.
The ones who were quite
pure. Yeah, and that was their final purification. Final purification. And many of the gopis, their husbands saw their bodies there, and they were, you know, still alive, hadn't died. And they were out with Krishna. In other words, they left one body with their husbands, so the husbands were happy. And I guess they were rolling rotis or something in that body. And in their spiritual body, they went to join Krishna in the Vasudeva.
The ones who weren't fully pure? Or the...
Some of the ones who were pure and some of the ones who weren't fully pure. But that was arranged so they could join Krishna. In the rasa dance. So yes, so in the past times in Vrindavan, it's not that on this earth planet, it's not that everybody has a completely spiritual body. Certainly many of the demons didn't.
How about people like the Pandavas? Were they...
Yeah, the Pandavas have spiritual bodies.
Oh.
They're eternal associates of Krishna.
So when Arjuna was fighting on the battlefield, in reality, nothing could actually hurt his voice.
No, but it was a pastime. It's like even Krishna, when he was attacked by our grandfather Bhishma, there was apparently blood coming out of his body. So this was a pastime. So the Pandavas, I mean, they're absolutely... Like Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, basically in the Gita, that you were there when I instructed this Bhagavad Gita, the sun god, many, many millions of years ago. He was there. And of course, Arjuna is also the Nara and the Nara Narayan Rishis. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
Yeah. I asked that because, like, for example, Srila Prabhupada, his body still got old and things like that. So
yeah, yeah.
It was the same.
But we consider... Now, that's not his eternal form in the spiritual world. It's not that you go back to Godhead, the Prabhupada will look like he looked. But his body is spiritual because he's using it in Krishna's service. Sometimes a pure devotee will take a temporary body that is not material because that body is utilized 100% in Krishna's service. Just like we take even the remnants of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, for example, people have the shoes, the foot imprints, and everything like that. And we worship them because they're spiritual. But it's not that those shoes will continually exist for the next 10 million years, or eternally, or the shoes go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So spiritual body can mean also something that is temporary within this world. Because when you engage something in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritualized. Prabhupada gave the example that when you put an iron rod in the fire, it becomes hot, 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 and eventually it acts like fire. Although, in one sense, it's not fire, but in another sense, it's acting as fire. So in the same way we engage ourselves, I mean, for example, the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam is spiritual. But what is it made out of? Yeah, paper, ink, and, you know, a little plastic over here. But it's spiritual. It's completely spiritual. We don't put it on the floor. We respect that this is an incarnation of Krishna. You can actually worship the Bhagavatam as a deity. But still, we understand with the passage of time, you know, the pages are going to turn yellow. And ultimately, it'll have to be put in the sacred throwaway by someone. You know, maybe in 50 years or 100 years from now. So there's information that something can be spiritual and also temporary. spiritual in this world doesn't necessarily mean something that continues to exist, but it means something that is fully used in Krishna's service. That's called yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means the renunciation, that's vairagya, of yukta, connecting something with Krishna and using it in Krishna's service. So this is spiritual. And your body can also be spiritualized if you use it in Krishna's service, 100%. But I'm not saying that you have a spiritual body right now. Do you understand, Keshava? No. Okay, later on you'll understand it. All right, I think we should end class. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We had 50 people watching this morning. Pretty good. From all over. From New Zealand. Actually, Tirtha Das asked me, we chant Aslisha Va Padavratim Pinashtumam. But when we get some difficulty, why do we get carried away and get upset? Because we haven't realized it yet. We haven't realized that Krishna, you can do anything you want. We think, Krishna, do what I want, and I will be happy. We're not on the high platform of devotional service. So, just by chanting something doesn't put us on a higher platform. It's a gradual process of realizing it. And Gopika, wow, so many people watching. 50 people this morning. Okay. We are broadcasting from Sydney, Australia. Amritasha's house. And we'll let you see all the little kitties. Whoops. Say hello. That's Keisha. Where's Kana?
Kana,
Kana, say hello.
Say hello to the camel.